Over the last week or so, I've been jamming with my friend Michael Rubin and helping out on this all-in challenge that I am accepting right now. But allinchallenge.com, please go there. We are challenging some of the greatest artists, entertainers, athletes in the world to provide a ridiculous all-time experience or one of their most iconic items in their collection to help raise money, to help feed the hungry during this ridiculous time. And so now I have to put up my auction. So my auction, the ultimate Gary Vee experience. Here we go. I'm going to go off the top of the head. And you can go on allinchallenge.com to go bid on this. I am giving away, okay, you get to, in the course of a year, you will go garage sailing with me and film Trash Talk. Also, you're going to get a workout with me and Mike Vacanti. So I know a lot of you pay attention to that part of my world. Also, we're going to go to Wine Library and do a $25,000 shopping spree. That's right. I'm going to pay my dad. Well, I'm going to donate. We're going to pay my dad $25,000. So $25,000 shopping spree at Wine Library. I will walk through the whole store with you, tell you the war stories, and you'll buy a bunch of wine, beer, liquor, whatever you want, food. We are going to go to a Jets game together. You're going to tailgate with me. I never do this. When I give away Jets tickets, I never let the person sit with me. So you will sit with me during the Jets game. I won't talk to you during the game. I'm completely focused, but you'll get that. So the ultimate Jets experience, tailgate, full game with me as well. Also, I'm going to give you 1 week play at VaynerMedia. So this is for you and a plus one, by the way. So the two tickets, we'll do some plus ones, we'll do some just me and you, depending on what it is. 1 full week at VaynerMedia, getting consulting and business advice from Team Gary Vee and me for the entire week, hanging out in the pit where the show's done. You're going to be a guest of my podcast. We're going to do a wine dinner for you and seven of your friends at Hunt and Fish Club in New York City. And I'm going to fly you all paid, plus one, to three of my keynotes. And we'll work on those details. The ultimate Gary Vee experience. I hope you bid on it. I hope you get involved. I hope we raise a lot of money to help people that need it.
This is the Gary Vee Audio Experience.
Yeah, okay, it's tea with Gary Vee. Sipping empathy. I know patience is the key. Putting out all of my shit for free. This is tea with Gary Vee. Might go make a flip.
Yo, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the first day of May. May 1 in the building. Super excited to be here. Hope everybody is doing well. Families are well. I'm ready to get into the show. Dustin on the one and twos. Thank you so much, Dustin, for everything you've been doing. Big shout out to my man Mozzie. Put out a banger of an album last night. I've been enjoying that. I shared some of my Instagram story and Twitter. If you don't know Mozzy, you're making a huge mistake. Anyway, let's get into the show.
Gary, it is a pleasure to be with you today.
Thanks, Asher. Hey, thanks, Joey.
How you doing?
Quite well, you?
Really well. Better now that we're with you. So we know you're a busy guy and we only have a few minutes. We're just going to hop right into it if that's all good with you. So Joey and I, he's 17, I'm 19. We started our first media startup last year and we launched our first podcast. It's called the Debate Without Debate podcast. And our sole mission of that podcast is to end polarization through conversation, just like we're having right now. And so based off of that, our main question to you today is, Gary, do you view yourself as a polarizing figure? And if so, what are some of the benefits that you've received from that?
I don't. I do understand that some people do. I am comfortable speaking my mind about things I genuinely believe in. I'm not trying to, you know, I think anybody can be viewed polarizing just on the fact that we live in a politicized environment where one opinion that you actually believe in a nice way may not jive with somebody else's. I tend to be more polarizing in the businesses that I'm in. So I get, you know, I challenge status quo a lot, which people view as polarizing. I view myself as practical. Mm-hmm. You know, I happen to communicate in a Jersey style that I think, you know, I think cursing may seem polarizing, high energy and conviction may seem polarizing, not accepting the norms of society may. Actually, I'm clearly very polarizing. Yeah. Look, I think. Polarizing, much like other words, are, you know, ego and confidence. People think they're the same. I think they're completely different. mm-hmm. polarizing and passionately practical, I think are very similar, but wildly different. And I think I'm passionately practical.
Mm-hmm. See, because as an up and coming media startup, we find it kind of difficult to cut through the noise sometimes. It seems like most traditional forms of media or social media for that matter kind of emphasizes this polarizing extreme nature. Gary, do you think that there's even a market for non-polarizing content? And if so, what does that business model look like on an applicable scale?
There's an ungodly amount of it. I mean, you know, I haven't taken the time to really audit things that you would decide with your subjective opinions aren't polarizing. But like for every like extreme Fox or extreme CNN or even me, I get that I'm high energy. I think entertainment works, and I think information works. And I think, you know, entertainment has taken over the news in a lot of ways, and that's led to a lot of muckery. But I'm sure there's scientific journals that have great B2B businesses that do quite well. There's an ungodly amount of business people I respect that are not over the top. Mary Meeker puts out one of the best, you know, reports each year on startup and VC culture. She's not polarizing by people's standards. You know, is Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In a polarizing book? For some, yes. For others, no. You know, I think people look at production and think that's part of the polarization. What I mean by that is, you know, there's a lot of people articulating incredibly thoughtful work on YouTube, podcasts, Medium, the press, and there's just an ungodly amount of good content that comes across very calm and kind of stick. Like, do you consider most of NPR's content polarizing? If you're a Republican hardcore, you may, because you don't like the things that are said, but I think in the way it's delivered, is quite calm, you know, and does extremely well. I'm sure that if you went through the top 200 podcasts right now in iTunes, you would, and click them all, you would agree that half of them are bombastic Howard Stern, you know, the Barstool. And I think you'd find half of them are just kind of like quite mundane. And then the question becomes is are we judging polarization on style or substance, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think for me, one of the things that works is I think I have a style, which, oh, by the way, hampers me in a lot of environments. There's an enormous amount of people who don't like me without even having a sense of my substance. They just don't like Jersey talk. And that's okay. I actually respect that. I'm empathetic to that. But I think there's always a market for good stuff. And yes, does sizzle sell steaks? Yep. You know what else sells steaks? Delicious fucking steaks that don't have sizzle.
Love it. Love it. Gary, if we could have one last question, given that you've started your own podcast, Gary V Audio Experience, we love that stuff. Mm-hmm. What would you do if you had zero pre-existing social capital? You were beta Gary and you wanted to just launch a podcast. We have a lot of listeners who are interested in starting again. I know they find a lot of value.
I did it on February 21st, 2006.
Yeah.
It's called Wine Library TV and 9 people watched.
Mm-hmm. So what can you do to grow? You know, like aside from just producing content.
So there's two things. There's the biggest thing that will help you grow is something that allows you to grow sustainable, which is putting out quality content. And quality content doesn't mean the production quality. It means other people on the other side find you funny, smart, interesting, entertaining, period, and a story. There's always ways to be smart about your post-production and your distribution. It's called making the content contextual to the 15 websites that I talk about fucking every second of my life. LinkedIn, yes, and TikTok. The reason I bring up LinkedIn and TikTok is because there's organic reach. But that doesn't mean that if you don't have dollars, that Facebook and Instagram are scary good. The ability to do what I did on Twitter still exists. Go into Twitter, search the words of your subject matter, and literally reply to every human that's on there. Are you willing to do it for 14 hours a day like I did for 4 years with limited results? Most people don't have that conviction. Most people don't love what they do enough. I don't want people to do things for 14 hours and burn out either. Put in 3 hours, but most people have put in 0 hours. Asher Joey, most people have put in 0 hours of going into Twitter, searching the conversation and replying to 40 people. Zero.
Very true.
People have audacity and expect that people are just going to follow them. It's audacious.
Very true. Gary, Pleasure. Really a pleasure. Thank we look guys. Forward Take to care. Talking to you again soon.
Can't wait. Hope so. Take care, guys. Audacity. Let's keep it going. Tanner, what's good?
Hey, Gary. How's it going?
It's going really well. And you?
Good. Good.
Good.
So a little bit of background. My dad started a karate school when I was 4 years old, and I grew up learning the martial arts, started competing. In 2014, I won a world championship. And so my whole life I've been doing this, and I haven't really figured out how to monetize my skill.
Well, how would you like to, like, what comes through your mind on selling it? Like, how do you think about selling it?
I mean, I would love to, like, be on social media and just produce content that way.
And make money through ads on YouTube or brand deals or sell subscriptions or sell merchandise or start a school?
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is sponsorships, ads. You know, I have started a school. I'm actually working at a grocery store right now, like 40 hours in
the
morning.
Thank you for being in those front lines.
Yeah.
Tanner, I mean, you could start making YouTube videos and start getting ads from the YouTube videos tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody comes to you and they've never done martial arts and they've never really worked out, and they're like, hey, I want to be a black belt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And even the fact that you just laughed that way, what goes through your mind immediately, because you know your craft so well, is like, okay, buddy. Like, and right? And like, you know, people say to you, like, they mean it too, right? Like, they roll up, yeah, like, dude, I want to be a black belt. And you're like, yeah, awesome. Are you ready for 15 years? Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're saying right now about monetizing through being an influencer.
Gotcha.
Like, it's fucking work.
Yeah.
Now, you may have natural talents. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, you know this. Everybody wants a shortcut in their martial arts. Like, yo, bro, can't I just watch a bunch of videos? And fucking, like, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you just, okay. So it's just all about the grind.
That made sense to you, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, 100%.
It's a lot of work, bro. I've been making content every single day, hard, since February 2009.
Gotcha.
And that was after I fucking worked 15 hours a day being an entrepreneur in a store for 2009, for 11 years. And that was after 22. And that was after really being in business since I was for 8 years doing baseball cards and making $2,000 a weekend selling cards as a kid and having that skill. And that was after 14. And that was after 7 years of being 7 to 14, doing things like washing cars, shoveling driveways, singing Christmas carols for a dollar, starting a mini flea market, a mini golf course in my friend Robbie Turnick's backyard. You know, hustling.
Yeah.
This is fucking 37 years of work in the making.
Mm-hmm.
37 years going hard, not kind of. You know, think about how hard you work at the grocery store, 40 hours. That was 3 days of my work week.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Hard.
Yeah, no, hard. I feel you. I'm, you know, on top of that, so I get up at 3 a.m. to work at the grocery store. And then once I'm done after that, I'm working on my karate school.
That's hard.
You know, so it's like, you just...
I'm impressed. Start putting videos on YouTube for sure.
Okay.
I think TikTok is the fucking golden goose right now.
Yeah.
I would make 2 TikToks a day about your karate stuff. It will work. You'll be shocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds good.
Awesome, brother. Talk to you.
Awesome. Thank you, Gary.
Take care.
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. First off, a huge thank you for you and your incredible team for motivating people across the entire world. My question targets primarily young adults. So for the people that chose a different path in life, not the typical 9-to-5 lifestyle, but more into passion and pursuing their passion. So I started my business about 6 months ago, and ever since, the feedback from my parents is negative and they're not supportive towards me. And it's not easy to really strive for more. So what would you suggest to balance such a lifestyle?
Yeah, so what kind of business is it?
A ballet business. I'm a ballet instructor in the Chicagoland area.
I love it. And your parents think it's too high risk? Are your parents immigrants? Like, what's the punchline?
Yes, they're immigrants from Russia, and they never were business people. They were on the typical, you know, 9 to 5, and they don't understand the, you know, being your own mentality.
They think you're in danger, like you're going to fail and it's going to set you back?
Yes, it's more of their thinking of the safety, and it's not as much safety as what they have in their careers.
Yep. So are they really getting at you? Or they're not, like, how's the, like, how combative is the conversation? Is it disappointment, or is it more even like putting you down?
It's putting me down and basically telling me that I won't be able to do it, or I have to do something different kind of on what they did. But I don't want that. I want to do something with passion and to pursue something to make a difference in other people's lives, mostly children.
And do they, And how are you struggling with it or not really?
With my business, I'm actually not struggling.
Only no, I now. Apologize. With the feedback.
With the feedback, yes, only because I'm still living under the same roof as them. So coming home.
Are you able to not live in the same roof?
That is what I'm working on, to move out.
Do you have friends that you could slum it with? Meaning, do you have friends that might be willing to, like the sooner the better, you know that, right? Because it's going to be, listen, I have a lot of empathy for your parents. You know, obviously I come from that part of the world, as you know, like a lot of people that came from, you know, that regime don't have entrepreneurial spirit because, you know, most people don't have entrepreneurial spirit. And the second, that system was based on socialism with the aspiration for communism, which is the state will take care of you. And it goes to be comfortable. I think that you, listen, you're going to win this game. I'll tell you why. The fact that you're even here on this, you know, call means that you're aware of me, you're aware of an alternative conversation. And more importantly, if I didn't exist or anybody else, it's intuitively in you. This is the only way you see it. But I don't think you need to be combative. I think one of the moves that you can do is not be combative with your parents, but actually be empathetic. You know, when they're coming at you, it's hard to not, you know, not to either A, be upset, or B, go back at them. I actually think the answer might be C, which is being compassionate to them. Being like, mom and dad, I thank you so much for what you've done for me. I understand that you're only saying this because you're scared, because this is how you see the world. But you have to understand that even if I fail and then get a job like you want me to, that's what I have to do. Otherwise, I will resent you and be unhappy my whole life. So I love you for trying to push me, scare me, challenge me into doing what you want me to do for my life. But that's only going to lead to me not loving being around you. It's going to only push us further apart. Maybe this fails and I do get the job that you want me to. However, I have to do this, and I'm doing this for two reasons, for myself and for you guys. Because if I take the bullshit job that you want me to take, and at 37, I resent you that I didn't follow my dream about ballet, that's going to lead to a bad relationship between us.
Right.
Have you, and listen, you know, I'm telling you this with somebody that understands Soviet DNA. Like, yeah. I actually think the ultimate strength, the ultimate like push against that hard pressure is compassion and empathy.
That's what I'm working on, to not live under the same roof as them. So as soon as that happens, I believe that everything will come into peace between me and them.
I don't think so, because it's still going to be in the air. Just because you're not there, you may not have to hear it as much, but it's not going to lead to peace. They still genuinely fear you doing something like this. Have you told them that you're empathetic and compassionate to them? Or have you gone quiet? Or have you gone combative? Or have you gone, like, what's been your reaction to them?
mostly just quiet. Like I don't really communicate with them at all because it's like negative energy. Because it's not gonna help me. It's just gonna like bring me down. It's nothing. Positivity is just not how they view it.
And do they understand that you're like distancing yourself?
Yeah.
And how are they? What is that making them do? Who's more upset about it, mom or dad?
I think both, to be honest.
Do you have siblings?
Yes, I have a younger brother, so he's kind of like the
mediator.
Yeah, like the everybody, like the show of the family.
I understand. How old are you, and how old is your brother?
So I'm going to be 24 this summer, and he's 12.
I love it. Look, I think you're on your path. I'm really proud of you. Stay strong on this. Here's why. You're doing a huge favor for your parents, not just yourself. Mm-hmm. If you actually succumbed and lived your life based on what they wanted, you would end up resenting them and having a bad relationship. So instead, you're going to have some friction now, but you're going to have a much better relationship later.
Okay, and one more thing I wanted to ask you about everything going on right now in the world. A lot of people are feeling stuck due to COVID-19. So what would you suggest to kind of when everything goes back to normal for the people that are scared they won't be able to adjust fast enough to their routines and their lifestyle before COVID-19?
I would remind them that they didn't think they could adjust to COVID-19, and here we are 3 weeks later and they're adjusted.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Right? I mean, you know, so this must be a nightmare for you, right? Because getting out of the house is the best. And now you're like, fuck.
100%. Exactly. Yeah. It's not good.
Are you taking advantage of modern technology and things like this and just consuming and like building community and just, yeah. Listen, Liza, let me give you a very good piece of advice. Mm-hmm. Feel a lot of compassion for your parents. Mm-hmm. I know it's crazy, but you know this, and I know this. Where they grew up and how they grew up is some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Like fucked up shit. You know, and like if you actually are empathetic to them, I really think it will help you be happier too. And I mean that. And don't do it just because I'm saying, like really take a step back and be like, look, this was their reality. Mm-hmm. They grew up in they grew up in outer space compared to where we grew up.
Yeah.
Really. You know, like they did. How old are your parents?
In their early 50s.
They grew up in a fucking outer space. They just see the world differently. They didn't have this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And they might have some resentment that they didn't and trying to impose that on you. But that's not because they're mean. It's because that's how life works. Mm-hmm. You really need to think about this. It's going to help you a lot, I'm telling you. Running away from it is going to be fine and you'll have short-term happiness, but I'm telling you there's a way to combat this that's sustainable so there could be a lot more happiness. I mean it. And I'm sure I'm sorry.
You would just suggest compassion towards this problem?
I would. Mm-hmm. You know, deep down, you know how your parents love you. This is what they think is right.
Okay.
They don't want you to be miserable. They just genuinely believe it's right. Mm-hmm. They do. They think they're helping you. They love you. They're based on fear, which makes a lot of sense where they grew up. Mm-hmm. You're not. You're fearless.
Right. Thank you.
I you're welcome. I would also even tell you that maybe even guilt would help you. You mm-hmm. feeling guilty that you were blessed with fearlessness and growing up in America, and mm-hmm. they were given fear, or maybe they were conditioned. Maybe your mom was exactly you. But she just had the luck of the draw of being born in the Soviet Union, and you had the luck of the draw of being grown up in America.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're combating that, you know, like if you go with that, all of a sudden it makes their feedback feel a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I also started my Instagram and TikTok videos all very recently. So if you can go ahead and just check out my page on Instagram, I really appreciate it.
I will. And I will ask everybody to do that. And I do think TikTok could really work for you.
Mm-hmm. That's
but right. I'm not letting you off the hook on this robotic answer on this last little part.
Yeah.
Listen to me. It's going to help you a lot. just like really lean into being empathetic to where they're coming from.
Yeah, I will do it.
You know, like, you know how they got there.
Yeah.
This is a classic, classic immigrant story for so many of us. Mm-hmm. Russians, Asians, Indians, like, it's mm-hmm. so real. And and most kids, you know, there's the way of like, listen, I already can tell, and even just the way you were wrapping up the call, like, you're going to be fine because you're too strong-willed. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to go fucking do it, and you're going to show them, and you're going to win. I believe that. I actually believe that. But when you win, how you win is going to be important, not just the fact that you won.
Mm-hmm.
And you control that. You can approach this very differently. You can be the bigger person, even though you're the younger person.
Mm-hmm.
You could.
Okay. Yeah, I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna definitely work on this and.
Do you think you can, or do you think you're just appeasing me and we're wrapping up here?
I think I can, and I think I could, because it's gonna help me and them. But I just wanted to know also like your opinion, because you have the similar story coming from Eastern Europe and immigrating here. But my parents are never business people.
And that's okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, it's okay. Like, and mm-hmm. my parents worked me like a dog,
mm-hmm.
you know, like yeah. It's, you know, there's all sorts of versions. There's all sorts of things. But you have the control.
Mm-hmm.
You have it. You have the rest of your life in front of you. You were given the blessings of like their risk that they took.
Yeah.
You can be the bigger person. They don't have to be. Everybody thinks their parents have to do it right, as if mm-hmm. that's the rule. You can do it right, which then may turn them to doing it right. Which is also going to help you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Talk to you soon. When you are in Chicago next, I would love to have a chance to meet you if that's possible, and also your team. They did an incredible job for setting all this up. Thank you.
Awesome. Talk to Dustin. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Interesting shit. Hope that helped a lot of people. That's a super duper 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 common theme for so many people, immigrants and non-immigrants, parents' expectations versus your reality. And you got to really, really, really figure it out. And yes, when the person said, man, is it that bad to be from the Soviet Union? Yes, Martin. People don't understand what that regime was. People were getting murdered. People were going to jail for 20 years. Anti-Semitism was insanity. People were sad. Go look at every picture of every person in the Soviet Union from 1945 to 1985. You'll just see no smiles. Yes, it was that bad. Let's keep it going.
Oh, shit. Gary.
What's good,
bro?
What's good, fam?
I was supposed to see you in El Paso, but I didn't get a chance to go over there. So
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, I have a question. So I'm a barber. I'm a licensed barber. I was trying to see what kind of content, like, I want to provide value to the audience as I create the content, right? So I don't know if I should just, and like, teach people how to cut hair or just show me cutting hair at the same time, talking about my product. Can I have my personality in the content within it? You know,
of course, your personality is the only differentiator. Everybody that's good at cutting hair is good at cutting hair.
Yeah.
The only difference you have is your personality.
Yeah.
Like, talk about Batman.
Batman.
Well, you're wearing a Batman shirt.
Yeah, I have Lego Batman on the PSP, but yeah.
So, but you know what I mean? Yes, the answer is yes to everything. Yes, yes, other people's, yes, yours, yes, personality, yes, technicality, yes, 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 yes. Anytime you think, should I post this? Put a little Gary on your shoulder, you know, that fucking angel, you know, right? Right here. I'm gonna make a little toy and put on everyone's shoulder. Actually, I'm gonna make a t-shirt. Team, I wanna make a t-shirt where there's a little picture of me. And it just says, yes, Dustin, you got that? Little shirt, plain shirt, little fucking face of me, and just yes. And I just want people to fucking wear that. And I think that that's the game. Yes, Adrian, the answer is fucking yes.
Yes. Okay, well, another thing. So I have a lot of insecurities. I don't know, just growing up, like, my mom was really strict with me. Like, just wouldn't let me go out the house, no friends, no social contact. She was too scared for me to go outside. So she kept me inside, you know, with video games. I was really creative at the time because I was like, you know, I didn't have any people to interact with. So that built insecurity within me. So basically what I did was I tried to be the smartest person in school. And that didn't help. So I became like valedictorian in high school, recently graduating high school. Coronavirus messed it up. Still graduating. I ain't worried about it. You know, it moves on. Life moves on. But yeah, like just being like with some, like if you were to tell me like you're wrong, that I would just take it so offensive, you know.
Mm.
But then I stopped doing that. You know, I stopped doing that because there's no reason. You know, maybe I don't.
And it makes sense. If your mom was so authoritative, that means that you got built up in that environment. And so that makes sense that you value other people's opinions because your mom's dictatorship became your framework. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, I can tell you right now, can tell you right now, just on video, I think you have a great natural human personality. I find you very comfortable on video and interacting with me. I think you'll do great with people.
Okay.
Do you feel comfortable around people?
Yeah, and then sometimes I do get a little bit sensitive, like really, really like fast. Like you have no idea how fast I get sensitive. Like
because you're insecure.
Yeah, that's why. But it's like
good news.
But it's so hard. Let me help.
No, we're gonna fix it right. We're gonna start right now.
Right now.
I got a secret for you. You ready? Put your ear to the camera. I'll tell you. Yeah. Brother, everybody else sucks too.
I know they do.
So that's it, bro. Don't fucking like if they say you're not good looking, then say they're not smart. If they say that you're not smart, then you can say they're not funny. If they say that you're poor, you can say they're spoiled. Like everybody else sucks, bro.
Okay. All right.
But do you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Like the second somebody hurts you, just convert that energy and hurt them back in your head. You don't even have to be mean.
Like you speak a lot about kindness, and I want to be kind. Like there's people that have like betrayed.
Did you hear
me.
What
like,
I said? I love betrayed.
Really nice to them. Like I.
That's good. Sorry. I hear you. No problem. It is a little choppy, but let's keep it talking because this is a powerful conversation.
Yeah. I would I'm nice to them. Like they could like talk so much, like so much shit about me. But at the end of the day, I'm like, you know what? Maybe there's something's going on with them. Like maybe it's not me. Maybe it's their family. Maybe they lost the game. Maybe they're just mad for no reason. Maybe I don't know. There's too many maybes out there for me to just assume something about them.
So I fucking love you. You know facts. Do I know what you mean? It's my religion.
Yeah.
Brother, being kind to somebody that's mean to you is the fucking ultimate strength.
Yeah.
People think that you're soft. People are like, Gary, you're soft. You let people take advantage of you. I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care if they stole money from me. That means they stole money from me one time.
Yeah. That's true.
You steal money from me. It's the biggest mistake of your life because I'm worth a lot more than what you took.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So what's the problem?
The problem is that I don't know whether I'm like, how can I say, like whether I'm a business person or I'm, because my mom and I grew up with business people. Like my grandpa had a business, my uncle has a business, my mom has a business. Businesses, I know like the business world, like how they create their businesses, right? But at the same time, I grew up being a student. So I'm like for example, let me give you an example. So I watched your content for like about a year. And then there's a point in where I watched one of your videos and it said that stop being a student and stop just learning, like start doing. And that's when it got to me because I was just learning and learning and learning, like if I was in school, you know what I mean? Instead of actually putting in the work. So it took me a year to realize that.
Good. So, you know, you're a fucking child. Yeah. Most people don't realize that in their entire life.
I'm 18 actually, so yeah.
I know what you are. You're a fucking child. You just told me you're graduating high school. I know you're 18. Yeah. You're a fucking child, bro.
Yeah, I have a lot of time ahead of me, don't I?
A lot? You have 100 years ahead of you. You're part of the generation that's going to live to 120.
That's what I'd be telling them. They don't believe me. I tell them they're living to 100, but they don't listen to me.
Fuck them. Who? Your mom, your uncle, your friends? Who gives a fuck?
You're right. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Who gives a fuck?
No, it's just really hard not to like. It's really hard not to give a fuck. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's very easy to understand why. You have a mom that dictated a very strict infrastructure on you, so you valued her opinion, which translates to you valuing everyone's opinion.
That's exactly.
That's your answer. I'll save you time.
That's it.
Well, guess what? Now, you're young enough, you're listening to the right things, we're hanging out here, hopefully this is a stepping stone, and you need 100,000 other stepping stones, and then you'll retrain your brain, and like it's like cutting hair, you get a new haircut. If you shaved your head, you would have a different haircut. You're now gonna think about it differently. You're changing your mind. I can see it. You've already got it in you.
Yeah, I feel like it's just natural, because as soon as I started watching you, everything you said, I was like, you're the guy that I need to be listening to, because you're telling me things that I don't like, but at the same time, it's the stuff you need to be telling me. You know what I mean?
You can feel that it's right for you. It's uncomfortable because I'm poking at holes, but at the same token, you know there's truth there, and you can tell that it's coming from a good place, and that's what made it attractive to you?
Yes, because you're so kind, like your personality itself, like you're a nice person, but you just look like a dick when you talk on your Instagram. But at the same time, you're not a dick. You're the nicest person I've ever met in my life, man. Like your personality, like the way you talk to me, man. You know, like you're being honest to me. You're being truthful, but at the same time, you're not showing any hate towards me. You know what I mean?
Hate? I love you.
Yeah, there's no hate. You have no hate, man. You show nothing but positivity. No,
I have conviction. To your point, like I like the game. Like a lot of people. Listen. A lot of people come to me and they're like, Gary, da-da-da. And I'm like, man, this person's for 29 years has been given advice this one way. And that's why they're not happy. So when I look like a dick, I'm just trying to cut some shit out. I'm going in deep. I'm making myself vulnerable. I'm letting people think I'm a dick. I'm taking on the pain of judgment from others to help that single person. Cause a million people watch that video and you're like, that guy's a dick on Instagram. And I'm like, fuck, like I'm taking those fucking hits to help that one person. My reputation to half the world is going in a bad place. I have to be patient for 25 years to be fully understood. I'm taking that loss for that one person.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I show my mom your videos and she like, because she doesn't believe anything that I tell her about like being nice, you know, like you got to think long term, not short term. And then I show her your videos because she's not going to listen to me. She thinks I'm just a child, but I don't care. You know, it's like, the way
and she what did she say?
She said, you're on the right path. Yeah, like she doesn't know half the stuff that I'm talking about, but I understand that maybe her life wasn't as educated as mine, maybe.
It was just circumstantial. So wait, you show her the videos and her reaction is what?
She's like, all right, I'm gonna start doing it. Like, can you help me? Because she doesn't
that's
understand.
That's awesome. Like, that's good.
How can I say like?
She's transactional.
Yeah,
That makes sense to me. My father is too. Like it's when you come from zero, you can't, it's hard to go up here.
Yeah.
She didn't have the luxury that you and I had.
She didn't have. Yeah, because I was lucky enough. Like I was really lucky enough to live in the middle class and go to school. But then I'm like, school, I don't feel like it's for me because like.
Good.
It's just, I feel like the system is not right for me, you know? Like you said in one of your videos, you're gonna break the system. You're trying to break the system. That's what you're trying to do. And that's why I fully respect that, yeah.
So great. So if you were a stock, if you were like a stock, I would invest in you. I hear everything that I like.
Yeah.
All right. You're a nice kid with clarity. This is great. Do you think you have the work ethic?
The work ethic, yes. I actually worked at the construction since I was 12. My stepdad put me into it, man.
You're fucking Amazon. I want to invest in you. You're gonna win, bro. Do me one favor. Remember this forever. Kindness is the ultimate strength.
Kindness. All right.
Yeah. It's the ultimate strength.
Really sensitive right now, man. Look, I don't know why he's such a sensitive.
I'm sensitive too, bro. I cry during Lion King.
Man.
I cry in every movie. I'm sensitive as fuck.
Yeah.
Sensitivity is great. It's why you have so much emotional intelligence.
Yeah, like when I got married, people were just talking like so much, like how can I say it? So much shit to me. Like, why are you getting married? Why are you doing that? Like, I'm making decisions based on what I think is right. Like, how you gonna tell me? Like, it's just something like just little things that people judge you that they don't even understand where you're going.
Bro,
with it.
You have to understand. You look at them and be like, Hector, Sally, Rick, Tom. you know, Salvador, I love you for saying this. Thank you. You go have fun until you're 35. For me, I wanted to be married at 18. I fell in love.
Yeah.
Like, I understand what you're saying. Thank you. Thank you, Sal, for saying that. Yeah. Now you go worry about your life.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, you know, like say thank you.
Okay.
Comma. Go live your fucking life.
All right.
Sal, you don't like getting married at 18? You go fucking hook up with chicks until you're 40. Mazel tov. Go have fun. Good.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you. What makes me happy is this.
Yeah.
Brother, do not put other people's opinions on a pedestal when they're not living your life.
Yes. Yes.
Tell them to live their fucking life.
Okay.
But and by the way, listen to me. Listen. No, it's not being mean.
But it's like, it's like.
You said thank you.
Personal. You know what I mean? They take it personal.
You said fucking, you said thank you.
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
You didn't say, fuck you, Sal. Get the fuck out of my business. I don't respect the way you bang chicks. Fuck you. You're a piece of shit. You said, thank you, Sal, comma. Yeah. I appreciate it, comma.
Comma, yeah.
This is what was was right for me. I fell in love and I was okay with it. You know our grandparents all got married at these ages, comma.
Yeah.
Comma. I'm so excited that you're going to have lots of fun in college and date and go to the big city. Like, good.
It's crazy how that's exactly what they tell me. That's exactly what they tell me.
I know what they tell you. That's why I'm regurgitating it so you know what I'm talking about. That I know what the what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yes, you do. You do. You actually do. You've been doing it for like about a year. I've been texting you on Instagram saying you're always right, man. You're always
Thank
right.
Thank you, brother. You're Listen, I'm not always right, but I'm always coming from a very clear point of view that's right for me. I'm not necessarily always right for everybody else, but there are things that everybody can take that can help them. I don't want anybody to be me or do it like me. I want everybody to do it that works for them, but there are things like kindness and empathy that are right. Brother, sensitivity is the biggest strength I have. I cried every day until I was 15. I cried when the Jets lost. I cried when somebody's feelings got hurt. I cried when people picked on other kids and it didn't make me feel nice because I could feel that kid. That later became why I was right about TikTok, why I predicted tea with Gary Vee 10 years ago. My sensitivity is my fucking superpower.
All right. Okay.
It's a gift.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Compassion and sympathy is a gift. Bro, I cried when fucking the Lion King's Lion Dad cartoon died. Cried in the theater with my fucking friends, like hot chicks from high school sitting right there. Cried. Cried.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to understand everything, right? I'm trying to like, okay, so yeah, that helps me a lot. Yeah, it helps me a lot that I'm actually going like the right way. I'm thinking the right things.
I promise you this. The next time one of your clown friends makes fun of you or has an opinion, tell them, I appreciate it, Sal, Hector, but Gary B thinks I'm awesome and you're a fucking asshole. So there you go.
I mean, as long as you think I'm cool, that's all that
Bro, matters. I think way better than cool. I think you're a fucking great kid. I'm like sticking on this call because I want to be with you. I think you're lovely and kind and capable and have all the fucking elements of having a tremendously impactful life.
Okay. So just thank you. Thank you so much, actually.
You're welcome, brother.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dustin, you know what's interesting about this show is like, you know, it's funny. Like, it's funny to like go through the process of communicating your truth.
What do you mean?
Meaning like, I've always known who the fuck I was. You know, and like throwing out, I'm going to buy the Jets is like an easy peacocking, like I'm not fucking around here move, but it's not deep. It's like, yeah, I'm going to buy a sports team. It's actually douchey. Some of the shit that's happening here, like I've never articulated the judgment I get at scale for trying to help somebody that comes across that I'm audacious or rude. That I'm a human. That doesn't feel good when you know you're up to something good and people dismiss you as bad.
Right.
Especially when you're sensitive and nice.
Yeah, I'm surprised you, I don't know how you handle it. Like, I can't do that.
it's kind of like your gift is your curse. It becomes your domain. I can't fucking spin a bunch of handlebars around in one shot. I watch your videos. I'm like, I'd skin my knee, not be unconscious and be sad. That's scary to me. I'm not doing those flip shit, fucking spin and fucking jump off a fucking curb. Everyone's themselves. But like, people are just so surface level. They're not paying attention to what I'm doing out here. And that's why Tea with Gary Vee has been so powerful. I definitely think that I pulled another layer of the onion away. And I think people are seeing it. Mm-hmm. I really believe that.
Yeah. People are definitely seeing it.
They don't even fucking know, Dustin. They do not know. Nobody watching right now understands. I'm not fucking around here. I'm winning the whole fucking thing, the whole thing. Nobody else. Me. I'm the guy. I know it.
I know it too.
Let's keep it going. Hey, Heather.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
How are you?
Good.
Good. So I'm a makeup artist from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I guess I'll just give you a little backstory of kind of who I am, I guess. I'm a first generation college student. So my mom's from Mexico, and college was basically forced on me. Like, I'm going to college. It's happening.
You're checking school's the box. Important. Yeah, I have to go.
Yeah, I'm going for it. And so I decided to go into pharmaceutical research. So chemistry, biology, blah, blah, blah. I hated it. I just absolutely hated it. I didn't like watching bacteria grow. I didn't like going to labs. I didn't like writing the reports. It wasn't for me. So of course, trying to drop out of college wasn't a thing either, because my mom's not going to let me drop out of college. So I just stopped going to classes. I got myself in so much debt, and it was all private loans because my family didn't know where to get it from. We didn't have money for me to go to college. So I'm still dealing with that. But I finally was like, I'm not going to classes anymore. I started playing makeup, practicing makeup when I was just sitting in my dorm. And people started showing interest, like, hey, can you do my makeup? Can you do my wedding? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I was like, well, I don't have any experience. I don't like know what I'm doing other than my own makeup. So I finally told my mom, like, sorry, mom, I'm going to go to school for makeup. So I came back to the cities. And
what did she say?
It didn't go over well. She's like, well, how are you going to make a career out of that? How are you going to, is it going to make you enough money? You're already so much money in. Why don't you just finish? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, mom, I barely made it through a first year of biology, let alone, I didn't even make it to a chemistry course because I was like, forget it. I hate it. So I just kind of told her, I was like, I'm so sorry, but I'm just going to do this and we'll see how it goes. She's in the cosmetology world too. So she already knows how much you have to work your ass off in the industry. So everything, she's like, are you sure?
Yep. You have to work your ass off in every industry.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to be successful,
like, I got to keep going. Awesome. So I love everything about this story. The debt pisses me off, but keep going.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It pisses me off too. But yeah, so I went to school for multimedia makeup. So I basically can turn somebody really cute, or I can turn them into a zombie in 2 seconds, you know?
Really cool.
So yeah, it's really fun. I run into the issue that when I went to school, because Minnesota you don't need a license to freelance. I found myself in the bridal industry. So I went with an agency for a while when I first got out of school in 2016. And I worked for an agency for a couple of years, and I realized I'm like, I'm only making about 50% of the 100% work that I'm doing. So I'm like, I can do this on myself. Yeah. I'm like, you're basically running a credit card. Like, I know how to do that too. So I went over and I started my own bridal business. So I do weddings as the seasons come along. So the issue that I run into is that since Minnesota doesn't require you to have a certificate or a license through Board of Cosmetology, I can't work in a salon because they're ran through Board of Cosmetology. I need an esthetician or a cosmetology license. So I lose that aspect of having a clientele, being able to come somewhere regularly.
So go to them or.
Oh, like- yeah. I absolutely do that. I see a lot of, you build a clientele
real quick. I know where you're going. So real quick.
Yeah.
Just like some people think, like your mom, that college was the only path to making money, and you were like, go fuck yourselves. I can do this. I understand that salons are a feeder for clientele and finding new clientele. So is fucking TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
There's nothing you're gonna say right now of the values of the license that isn't arbitraged around by you making creative on TikTok and Instagram. Nothing.
Absolutely. No, I've been doing, I mean,
but let's stick here for a second. If you're if you're saying absolutely to that, like, I want to put a nail in that coffin. Like, you know the answer.
Yeah. They're trying to pass the law because they're trying to regulate fuck us. The law. Because Board of Cosmetology is coming for bridal.
I know what
super
they're doing.
Hard because they know,
I know what they're doing.
It's a pain. I'm not worried about it.
Because you can go
I'm
somewhere
not
else.
About it. What,
you can move.
Right.
Fuck Minnesota. Yeah.
The cold is really a pain.
Yeah, fuck Minnesota. Other than the Minnesota Rocker, the esports team I own in Minnesota. Fuck Minnesota and fucking move. If they pass some law that fucks you. Don't worry about what other things and other people are doing.
Right. Absolutely.
Nobody's going to the salon right now. It's fucking COVID life.
That was going to be part of my question here is because I rely so heavily on clientele. That's where my work comes from. I have to be person-to-person interaction. And so my biggest focus right now is I have my Instagram account. That's what, I don't know if it's linked or not, but
it's
my professional page. So I obviously post my clients, I post my weddings, I do special effects, you know, just dabble in everything just because I like playing makeup. But I found that on social media, because makeup is being the YouTuber makeup, it's everywhere you turn. You're seeing a new eyebrow or a new this, that. And makeup artists, working makeup artists, I feel like they get lost in social media over the YouTubers and them doing their own makeup versus us going out
They don't get lost.
Okay. Because I see a lot of companies focus around the YouTubers a lot more.
They have,
give a lot more recognition.
Because they have much bigger audiences.
Yeah.
But their personalities.
And they build very quickly. And
you
how
could
do I
too.
Show my personality behind the camera? You know, instead of you're saying, I'm going to apply my blush here because, like, that's where blush goes, like, understanding, you know. you know, like, you probably know how to do your makeup at this point by watching all the, like, videos that come up through the feed. But so I had to start another Instagram because I don't want to be the working makeup artist with 1,000 selfies. Like, I do my people's makeup, but it's only pictures of me because those ones get more interaction. They're like, you're really, like, you know, I love your makeup, love it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why don't you go say, like, I like you commenting on and letting me know what you think of client makeup, because that's what I actually like to do. So I
you
ended
don't
up
get
deleting
to, you don't,
a lot of my
yeah.
selfies. And
why?
Well, it's just, I like clients being able to come to my page and see my work versus
but you can mix it.
Yeah. Like, I had a good mix. I was just seeing more of my face. I'm like, this is not what I want people to see when they come to my page.
So do a different mix.
Okay.
Like, what was your mix before? How many client photos?
With COVID, how do I go about that? Because they just extended us another almost 3 weeks out and I can't do clients. So because I started YouTube, I gave in. I did a YouTube doing my makeup, just showing how
Heather,
I do makeup.
Heather, you know what? You go by Heather or Heather Marie?
Heather. Well, I mean, it's Heather Marie, but you know.
My Heather, morning. Yeah. You know how your mom put college on a pedestal and it fucked you up? Mm-hmm. You're putting influencer dynamics on a pedestal of an ideology of how you see the world and it's fucking you up.
Yeah, it is.
I know.
And I know that's that. And it's the worst part because I'm just
good
like,
news.
God,
I know
I
it
just
too.
Don't want, yeah. I just don't want to be like that YouTuber. And it's like, and I know my value. I know my worth of like who I am as an artist because
Heather,
I hear it. It's like,
Heather,
I've never had.
Heather. I know you do. Guess what, Heather? I want to make garage sale videos to help people learn how to make from $0 to $100. But most of my business friends it makes me look bad and people won't take my real business advice serious. But I don't give a fuck what they think. You're repeating your mom's mistake on your own self.
Yeah.
Your mom put school on such a ideological platform because of the grind that she went through and didn't want that for her wonderful daughter. But she made you go into debt on something that brought you no value, and it was the wrong move.
Yeah.
You have judged these non-technically sound makeup artists who are fluff, who've amassed millions of followers on YouTube, and in your judgment of them, you've held yourself back from the growth. I promise you, me rummaging through people's trash doesn't underestimate the fact that I have accomplished everything that I've accomplished. You taking a selfie that you look good in doesn't make you, doesn't undermine your actual work.
Okay.
Your ideology is fucking you up.
Like this selfie situation.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because it's a great question. Thank you. You just helped a lot of people. Even though you don't like it. No, I want you to be happy and happy over business success. Period. End of story. No debate. The question becomes, why don't you like it? To me, that's the most important part of this conversation, Heather. No, I want you to be happy. Yeah. And I don't give a fuck if you make less money, have less opportunities. But you're asking me, you know, we're talking, and it's under the guise, I assume, of you having more success, aka happiness, but actually, you know, it gets scary when everything shuts down and you want to diversify your income, I'm sure, right? But like, here's the real question. Why? Like, do you feel like being valued for being pretty undermines your intellect? Are you actually insecure of how you look? Do you not want to be associated with people that you disrespect how they handle their lives? There's a lot of real fucking questions, Heather, under there.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as, I don't want to. I want to know why.
I just want to push my workout more.
So do more. You know, post three. Just... So post. Three times a day with two works and one you. And oh, by the way, you talking about which coffee you like, you humanizing yourself will lead to so much more opportunity, which will lead to people more seeing your work. I'm tricking fuckers into being better people by disguising myself as a business person. The fuck do you think's going on here? Your work will get more look.
I know I get in my head so much. It's just I know exactly, well, I don't know exactly where I want to end up, but I know my train of like, okay, this is where I know, because I know the steps. I know what needs to happen. It's just I want to get there. I get in my head.
You want to get there based on an ideology you created instead of actually getting there. You value the ideology more than actually getting there. I'm telling you, you do.
Yeah.
You know what's even scarier about that?
I know, for sure.
You are valuing other people's opinions.
Yeah, that's my issue too. That's the most frustrating part is when you know your flaws or you know what's your issues and it's just like you can't get past that because what you're doing is making you happy. And it's like, well, those other things are still there. They're still lingering. They're still in that section. And it's like, get away. Like, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Don't pay attention, people, which my opinions of other people, I'm like, forget it. Like, I already told my mom, like, you know, like my mom out of all people, like, all right, bye, see you, you know.
More importantly, I think there's an underlining judgment you have towards those other people because you were blessed with talent. So you're judging other people, which then makes you susceptible to being judged. Do you know why I don't struggle with judgment? It's because I'm not judging anybody else. And then you're spending time looking at their channels and their posts and fucking judging the people for liking it.
I'm like, I like that video. And it's a very completely the creative fantasy, like crazy makeup. It's a complete art. Like, I love everything that they do. It's more of the side of when I have a client sit down in my chair, like, oh, are you a YouTuber too? Or, oh, do you do your makeup? Like, how do you do your makeup?
Heather,
do you do the craziness?
Heather,
I'm like, no.
Heather, Heather, I have successfully operated and built two major businesses through blood, sweat, and tears and a fuckload of smarts. I have been one of the wiser, more strategic investors. I have systematically been correct about so many consumer trends over the last 20 years at the highest levels in the world. And almost everybody rolls up at me and they're like, you know, two friends roll up. They're like, Gary B. And the other friend's like, who's this? And he's like, oh, that's that motivational speaker on Instagram. I put nothing but fucking W's on the board for 20 years. And I'm the motivational person on Instagram. He's that funny guy that sells trash on TikTok. That's literally what people say. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
If you know who you are, what the fuck does it matter?
Right.
You're way off on this. You're way off on this in a real good way because you're super close. Okay. I'm pumped. You're way off and close. That's why this is fun for me.
I know, but you're close.
You're close. You just need to drop this one. I'm a motivational speaker to 90% of the people. It makes me throw up in my mouth and want to go to sleep. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm fucking an executor at the highest levels who happens to be motivated and optimistic. You're not a fucking YouTuber. You're a fucking big time talented makeup artist who happens to make fucking YouTube videos. Enough. Who gives a fuck what Sarah from Minneapolis thinks when she sits in your fucking chair?
Right. Fuck Sarah. I have another question. You had done an interview with Sam Parr and he had asked you about other businesses that you're interested in or upcoming businesses or like e-coms or whatever it was, but you had said men's makeup. You were interested in men's makeup and you didn't get to touch back on it at all. And that when I heard it, I was like, oh my God, he's finally gonna answer a makeup question. Like I was super pumped and obviously you guys ran out of time, but.
So I'm out of time now for this episode as well, but I'm not going to do it to you again. Let me just look at my schedule. Fuck. Okay. So I believe that men's makeup, straight men, not the incredible communities that are alternative, straight men are going to actually wear makeup in the world. And I think it's going to be at scale somewhere in the next 10 to 15 to 20 years. I believe it fully, 100%. I believe that will be true.
Okay. I mean, I don't see why not, you know, you got a pimple, cover it up. You don't like it, you know,
it's no, I'm not talking about some of the places that men have dabbled into, like cover up. I'm talking eyeshadow. I'm talking like me having like a fucking lightning bolt on my cheek every day. I'm talking real shit. I'm talking lipstick.
Okay.
I think if you look carefully in TikTok, I think if you look carefully in TikTok culture, the 14, 15, 16, 13, 12-year-old girls, the guys that they're attracted to are clearly in that direction. The e-boys are in that direction. Long hair, highlights, you know, finger, you know, nail polish, lips, like it's already happened. I don't predict, I don't guess. It's already happened. Now it just needs to play out. Social acceptance. Online dating, when I told them my friends was going to happen, you know, I love that Calvin Knight believes this. Screenshot this real quick for me, Dustin, because that's going to go in the archives because Calvin Knight's going to fucking take a huge loss. Just like all my friends that said online dating wouldn't happen. Just like all my friends that said nobody was going to go on Facebook that aren't in college. Just like all my friends that said I was wrong about TikTok and Musical.ly. People don't get it. I'm never going to be wrong because I don't guess. I just watch so much carefully. I listen so much more. I interrupt people. I get that, but nobody on fucking earth is listening more than me. I'm telling you that right the fuck now. I'm in the fucking game when it comes to listening. Of course, there's other people that are listening as much as me, but like, I'm in the fucking game. Yeah. And it's already fucking happened.
You're just ahead of people. You already know. And I do the same thing. I'm a terrible. I try to catch myself like, Heather, let them finish their thought. Like, even though you already have the answer and their solution and this and that. It's like, it's same thing with clients when they sit down in my chair, like, oh, well, I had this. I'm like, I can see, girlfriend. Like, I got you. We got it. You know, and it's like,
by the way, I'm sorry.
You already have the answer.
I get it. I get it. Somebody said, Eric Thompson said, strong John Wayne and Clint Eastwood is gone. It's actually not gone. I think they both coexist. I actually think like old school men, like hard, pale, like tough guy. I think that's emerging too. Like, there's a lot of things happening. You know, it's just such an interesting time. Heather, listen to me. You're so fucking close, but you're so fucking wrong. And it's really exciting. It's really exciting. I think this could be super close.
Yeah, my brother was the one that like turned me on to you a couple years ago, and I told him, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna talk to Gary Vee on a couple days. He's like, all right, well, be ready to sit there and like, no, he's not gonna bullshit you. And I was like, I don't want to bullshit. I was like, I want him to like sit there and just like, this is what you're doing wrong, because like, I know I'm so close, and I'm just like, I need someone to like, I mean, not validation you're right or there. Anything, but it's, like yeah, the
know,
idea.
We're humans. Yeah. Affirmation, you know, is a real powerful thing. You are so fucking close. You just need to know that your mom was wrong about her ideology about college, and you're wrong on your judgment of YouTubers and social media people.
Okay. Well, I'm there. So for my, I'm trying not to take your time, but because I started another page, because I was in the idea of keep my selfies on one page and my work on another. Do I just keep it all on the handle that I have? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All you.
I don't have any viewers on the YouTube, but I did. So I'm like, let me kick it back to the other one. I just didn't know like how I should separate it and if I should or
easy.
Not. So
Stop shitting on other people and your dream of how you should be looked upon as a professional, and start fucking living your honest full life on it.
Yeah.
Awesome. I gotta go.
Okay. Bye. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. Heather. All right. Fuck, man. I don't know, Dust. This might have been best. Jesus, this was good. There was some real fucking fire.
Yeah.
There was some real stuff. The Russian girl, Heather, you know, like, right? Like, there was some real stuff. The dude from the 18-year-old, like, there's, like, the post-edit team needs to get to work. It was a fucking fire episode. Winetext.com, you know, if you don't sign up for it, I'm going to kick you out of having the ability to watch this stream. I'm done with you. We're not friends. It's over. I'm finished. See ya. That's real. And the All-In Challenge, my auction is running up on Saturday, tomorrow. It's over. So if you've not bought your raffle tickets, please do that now. Love you. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away, which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted shout out is Uncovering Your Insecurities by Rabia. Gary's heart to heart with his caller, Chris, was like he's speaking directly to me. Best believe this episode is downloaded and will be listened to quite regularly. Thank you, Gary, for steering me in the direction that I've needed to go in for the last 15 years. I love you, man. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.